It was downright warm today. I like it. Summer until like mid-January. Anybody with me on that? All right. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 9. We're going to continue on this series from Saul to Paul. If you've missed any previous ones, you can listen to those online. And I really believe it's a great series. I mean, his conversion was pretty awesome. But it's no different, really, from our own. We may not have an experience where there's a great light shining around us, but the transformation of life is still the same. Can you say amen? Acts chapter 9. We're going to start with verse 19 tonight. It says, "And when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples in Damascus." Last week I mentioned that after his conversion, he had a time where there was some rest that he could be strengthened. He's been persecuting the church. He has an encounter with the Lord Jesus. He's blinded for a time. Ananias comes in and prays for him. He receives his sight. But he's encouraged by fellowship from the believers in Damascus. How many believe that encouragement can come by being around other believers? How many, even tonight, you can be strengthened in the inner man? That it matters the fellowship we have one with another. And it's also a caution thing that many, the Bible says, will forsake the assembling of themselves together. The truth is that we need to assemble when we can. Amen. I know we have schedules and things, but there's something about coming to church, come and be with one another, that does something for us spiritually. You have something to add in the service. Look at verse 20. "And immediately he preached that Christ in the synagogues, that he was the Son of God." Notice that now he's starting to preach what he was used to persecute. I think it's pretty awesome that you can go from darkness to light. Like some of you in this room, you lived your life one day, and then the next day you were different. Can I get an amen to that? Who noticed the change in your life? Who was the first one to say, "Man, there's something different about you"? What is that area there? Maybe it was a transformation that your speech changed, or maybe something in your conduct, or the way you handled yourself, or the outlook you had in life. Something changed in you. For Paul or Saul here, it's a radical change. And you're going to see in just a few verses that many didn't believe that it was a transformation. When I look today, he preached Christ. His testimony was real. I want you to see something here. He was a voluntary evangelist. When Christ came into his life, he shared the vision that he had. In fact, throughout his whole ministry, even before King Agrippa, he shared his testimony. Your testimony is so important. No one can refute your testimony. Now, they may not believe it, but it's still your testimony. And when it's truth in that area, I want you to know that no one can say different about it. How many of us, we need to encounter Christ? Listen, when we come to church, we're just not gathering here just to look at one another. We're gathering to have an encounter with the King. And when we encounter the King, there's something happened. There's something different. And I often think about those that went on to heaven before us. The Bible says a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. So all those that are there, it is such a time of rejoicing and strength and comfort that it's like they blink and you're there. They blink, another generation's there. Isn't that so cool? That it's like all of a sudden the next group comes. The next person comes. And it doesn't seem like it's so long. It doesn't seem like, oh man, I've been up here a few thousand years. Man, it's finally a good time to see you. Time ceases there. It's like it moves on. And we need to realize that we're not far from that. All of us in this room. Even if you live to be 100 more years than you are right now, what is that compared to forever? If you think about forever, what is that? Many times I really look at this life as being so temporary. And many times so many days are wasted. Saul has met the Lord and he's going to maximize every day living for God. I really believe that we also need to have that. If we could all back up and we were 3 years old again, how many here would say, man, I'd rather be radically serving God all the days of my life, from my youth on up? See, we can't go back to those days, but we can sure maximize now. There's no reason why we can't have an encounter with the King and live all out. Are you with me so far? When you look at verse 20, Saul is claiming Jesus as the Son of God. When you get to verse 22, he now furnishes proof that Jesus is the Messiah. I want you to know that you should go from your testimony, which is good, to now proof in Scripture that Jesus is who he says he is. How many knows you have the full Bible in front of you? You should be able to look in the Old Testament and see places where it was prophesied where he was going to come. No one has been more predicted about his life than Jesus himself. Can you imagine a few thousand years ago, the prophet predicts where he's going to be born, how he's going to be born, what price is going to be paid on his head, how he's going to die. How many knows that's some pretty serious prophecies? And every one of them came true. No one could predict that but God. When I look at Paul's life, after he meets and has an encounter in Damascus, he's going to go away for a few years. In fact, 3 years, if you're taking notes. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, he says, to reveal the Son of God in me, that I might preach him amongst the Gentiles. When I did this in verse 17, I didn't go to Jerusalem where the apostles were, but I went to Arabia and returned back to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went to see Peter and remained there 15 days. So after he had an encounter with God, after he began to share his testimony, 3 years he began to learn from the Holy Ghost. This isn't his only stead of growth. But how many knows that once you meet the King, you need to have time to grow? Yes or no? I mean, is this more than just an encounter, a boo-hoo at the altar? It's time to grow. I believe discipleship is so important. And listen, the basics you can never get away from. Listen, that's another foundation area. Many times people build a superstructure without laying a good foundation. And you'll find that after time, it erodes and moves away. Look at verse 21. Then all who heard were amazed, saying, is this not he who destroyed those who called on your name? Those that were in Jerusalem? For the purpose he came here to bind them by the chief priests? Notice those who heard were amazed. Now, I don't know too many people like this, but there's been people over the years that have persecuted the church. Hitler was one of those. My grandfather was an effect of that. He was put in prison. The Nazis came into my grandfather and grandmother's house. They arrested him on the spot and hauled him away. My grandmother didn't know if she'd ever see her husband again. They came in and pulled some of the books out. She thought they were going to burn the house down, but they just looked at him, put him back, and left. Now, how many think that's a pretty scary situation? War is going on. The SS comes in. His name was on the list to put you away. When I think about that, can you imagine every night the bombs are dropping? She lived in Nuremberg. I've been to Nuremberg. Nuremberg was bombed to nothing left. You can see all the new brick where all the, or the old brick still remains. And every place has new brick put in there. My mom says when the air sirens went on, it didn't matter whose house you were, you went to that place. Sometimes you had to stay in that family's home until it all cleared up. I mean, that's a pretty awful time. A lot of people didn't like Hitler. A lot of people didn't like him. When I look at that today, it's like, man, he was a madman. And a lot of people lost their life. But they prayed, Lord, bring him back. Then one day, he comes back through the door. Can you imagine the joy that was there? Can you imagine feeling that you see somebody you love, somebody you've been praying for? For Saul, he's been persecuting the church. He was like the madman of the day. And now all of a sudden, he begins to preach the gospel. And I can understand why people are skeptical. I can understand, isn't this the one that bound people? Man, he has orders that you can arrest. Are you sure he's right? Say amen. How many knows it shows a radical change? Listen, new converts need to expect, listen to me, hatred and scorn from the world. True? Maybe some people close. But we need to learn that God can change any heart too. We can't cast away. We have to look at that area. Now, for Saul, how many knows you need to look for fruit? If it's truly what they're saying and it's a change in their life, listen, we should look for fruit. I want you to know that Saul's going to deal with some grief. He's going to have some anguish in his heart when he goes to the believers and they don't believe that he's real. Look at verse 21. Saul increased all the more in strength, and he confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ. Notice that strength increases. As believers, I want our strength to increase. I want our influence to increase. If you got the Holy Spirit in you, you can increase in strength. Now, physically, I know we're getting older, but how many knows there's no limitation when it comes to the Holy Ghost? I said there's no limitation. You can be strong. He now is beginning to preach that gospel. How many knows the anointing can come on all of us? Yes or no? Notice now he's confounding the Jews. He's going from just his testimony. Now I'm going to prove from Scripture that Jesus who he says he is. We should also have that same heart. We should be able to look up, not that you may know every chapter and verse, but you can find in Scripture what it says about him. Our faith can be proved out. It isn't a blind belief. It isn't what you've just heard and you've grabbed a hold of that. It is the truth. And it's the only thing that has held up through every generation. Every world leader, every religious leader has died but him. He is the only one that ever made the claim that I came to die for your sins, but I arose again to give you life. You can't find his bones. You can't find his body. He is the only one that's conquered death, hell, and the grave. I studied world religions when I was in school. And you know, there's a theme that runs through. A lot of them have love in their character. A lot of them have love in their doctrine. A lot of them have some type of judgment to deal with. But Jesus is the only one that paid the price for your problems. The rest are all wanted to be worshipped as a deity. Do this, do this, do this, and you can be there. He's the only one that came for you. Isn't that so cool? How can a God come for you? Isn't he the one that should be worshipped? Just bow down to him. No, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to be a servant. No one makes those claims. I mean, that is awesome. Your faith is built on a solid foundation. Now Saul realizes that that Old Testament was a warm-up, a preamble to what was going to happen in the New. He now can look through those pages. Those pages he looked over and now says, here's a prophecy about him. This talked about him. This talked about him. And if you look in Scripture, the Bible says, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. You can look up, what did he see? What prophecy was fulfilled there? Isaiah prophesied about him. Jeremiah prophesied about him. Can you imagine all of a sudden the light bulb going off and all that his teaching, all that he learned finally made sense? To a lot of people, things just become religious. You can't become religious. You have to be relational. Amen? Our new life, there needs to be growth in our new life. Every baby must grow up. Amen? It's how we know that we're progressing. We need to start looking and say, God, I want to grow up in all things. And listen, if there's a character issue in your life, okay, the Lord can help you with that. There is nothing that the Lord cannot help you with. If you're honest about yourself and you're honest to God, say, God, help me with this area. The Lord will do it. How many want to be more like Christ? My goal as a pastor is to lead you in paths of righteousness. I want you to be like him. I really do. I want you to be like Christ because that's the greatest reward for me that I ever see. Amen? Look at verse 23. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill. Now, think about this. He now is preaching the gospel, and now he's going to become a recipient of those who once hated and now hated him. What a change in his life. He used to persecute the Christians, put them to death, and now he's the one that now is the target. What a change, amen? How many of us, we need some encounters like that. Notice this says after a certain time. God has appointed certain times, years, places, and circumstances for each servant. We need to learn from these experiences. And listen to me, certain things have to be performed at certain times. You know what Jesus said today? Put your hands to the plow and don't look back. There's a word today. Run the race and cross the finish line. That's today. Look up, your redemption's coming soon. That's today. I mean, it was these realities we need to take advantage of. God didn't want you born 2,000 years ago. He wanted you born now because he knew you'd be the ones to handle it. Well, more than ever, we need to seek the Lord. Is this good tonight? Listen, we need to discern. Happy is he who rightly discerns the times and the appointed task. He's faithful to follow those through. When he told King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but I followed it out. Your testimony may place you before kings. Say amen. Come on. Your testimony may place you before people you never thought possible. Who can refute that? If you live all out for God, the Bible says that I'll place you before nations. I believe with all my heart, when you're praying, you're believing God for things, it's worldwide. It isn't just America or Michigan. It's worldwide God's moving. And God is moving incredibly all over the earth. America is not the gauge on which God moves. He's moving in this country, but he's moving around the world. And I've read some reports recently that people are getting saved by the thousands all over the place. They're coming to themselves and realizing that he is real. Here's another thing. Those that really want to be diligent with God, God's even turning the economy around for the believer because thousands are getting saved. He's prospering those areas. Isn't that cool? How many of us, the gospel works? Saul now is now preaching that gospel. And now the Jews are realizing he's went from testimony to now showing by scripture that Jesus is the Christ. We don't like him. And that hatred is beginning to form. They're beginning to say, you know what, we are now plotting to kill him. It kind of fulfills scripture. In Acts chapter 9, verse 16, it says this, "For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." The word of the Lord's being fulfilled already. He saw those things coming. Hatred and persecution are a sign of true conversion. I may have somebody rise up against you, maybe a family member. Somebody said something. Maybe somebody you work with. I work with a guy. I worked with him for a long time, and he said this to me. He goes, "You know what? I wish I'd have met you before you got all that glory." I'm thinking, no, you don't. I mean, God's the best thing in my life. He would come in and he wouldn't have a lunch. And I would share my lunch with him every day. Oh, that's glorious. Oh, pat yourself on the back. No, that was just the truth. He didn't have a lunch. And sometimes I wonder, why don't you have a lunch, dude? And I didn't pry into his life, but you know what? I'll share my lunch, amen? So I'd always pack a little bit more. And I'm not saying this for self-glory. But when I'd sit down with him and we'd eat lunch, I'd share my faith. They knew exactly where I was. At times I'd hear them just chatter with other people, maybe running it down. Sometimes they'll say one thing to your face and something else when you leave. I mean, know what I'm talking about. But I choose not to be offended because the word still works. The Jews were amazed by this violent man now persecuting. Now all of a sudden he's changed. And now the bitter and hatred is starting to focus back on him. Many times I see that people can be fickle too. Whatever the crowd is doing, that's what they're doing. And more than ever today. Listen, we have to know the truth, and the truth sets us free. I don't like it when there's false news, fake news. Why would I ever watch that? Why would I ever watch a newscast where everything is just a flat lie and they admit it? Here's fake news. Well, you know what? Today, more than ever, we need the truth, and the truth sets us free. Amen? Look at verse 24, Acts 9, 24. "And they began to plot, became known to Saul, but they watched the gates day and night to kill him." I love this about the Lord. The Lord can cause you to be informed when your life's on the line. They started to plot, and they watched the gate night and day. Notice the activity that was there. That's a lot of work. They had spies night and day watching the gate, see if he's going to come in. But it was known unto Saul. I want you to know that God knows where you live. He knows where you're at. And he will make sure you're informed. Amen? There's been times in my own personal life that the Lord has spared me. I shared with some of you, we were building these giant steel walls. And the boss forgot to weld the hook. And we had these 100-ton cranes that would run overhead. And we had a wall probably from here to there, about 10 feet high, solid steel, just all the way across. And they picked the wall up and we had to move it over. Well, it was one of those days on a Monday, the boss forgot to weld in the hook. We had these big hooks. And the pressure kept it in until it got straight up, and then it pulled it right out. And I'll never forget this in my life. The Holy Spirit told me, run. It was as loud as in my ears as I'm talking to you. Run! And I had my welding helmet up, and I looked, and I began to turn, and I ran. The wall came down right behind me. Boom, boom, boom. How many think the Lord informed me? Amen. Say amen. And I remember standing there just shaking like that. This big old hunk of steel's right there. It was so loud, the whole plant shut down. Like, Jesus, amen? How many like you feel like going home? Yes or no? You know, and I'm going home. I think I'm going to cash out today. I'm done. Everything's good. I remember walking around, and my body, my mind is like focused, but my body's like this. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost? Yes or no? I couldn't have moved fast enough. I wouldn't have known because the wall has been lifted 100 times before me. But that one time, he informed. Thank you, Jesus. I said, thank you, Jesus. I shared with some of you, I was driving on Belleville Road. It turns just before it gets into Michigan Avenue there. And there's a viaduct right there, about maybe half mile back. The manhole cover was gone. And I was going under that area, and it was kind of dark, like now. And I kid you not, in my car, the wheel went just like this. And I remember jerking it back, like, man, what's up with that? I slammed on the brakes. I started a little bit. I got out. I looked. There was no traffic. And I looked back, and the manhole cover was gone. I didn't turn the wheel. I was shocked the wheel moved. I wasn't that good. Can God do that? For Saul, I'm informing you, they're plotting to kill you. They've been watching day and night. And believe me, they knew how to spy out the land. So they weren't looking to be known. It was a secret thing. We're plotting to kill him. Here's the times he's coming through. They're recording that so they can get him. Look at verse 25. But the disciples took him by night. And they led him down from the wall in the large basket. I like that. That the practical things, Saul didn't say, hey, no, I want God to lift me up, lift me over the whole city, and transport me to another place. Notice Saul said, you know what? If this is my means to get out of here, I'll get in the basket. Say amen. I mean, as we still need to be humble after we're saved. If that's the provision, that's the provision. The Lord always has it. Enemies watch day and night to kill the servants of the Lord. It's no different today, amen? But the faith, the keeper of Israel, neither slumbers nor sleeps. Psalm 121, verses 4 and 5. He is never slumbers or sleep. He's a keeper of the gate, and he'll shade you in his right hand. I love that. They may plot against you. They may stay up all night to do it, but God never slumbers or sleeps. I'll keep watch over you. Now, picture this now. He once persecuted the church, and now he has to get in a basket, and they're going to lower him over the wall so he can escape. What a different life. How many really want to serve the Lord? What if persecution does come to the church? Will the whole church just shipwreck their faith? Or would you say, I'm still going? I'm still going. How many are still going? I don't know how much our freedoms will be eroded. I really don't. I know in some places it's already serious. Our brothers around the world, many of them, if they're caught with a Bible, they lose their life. Some will get in prison. That's reality. It's still pretty easy here in America. You can still choose things. But what if it changes? What will we do? I'm still coming. Are you with me? I'm still coming. You got to have that resolve in you. Saul's looking at it. You know what? I preach this. It's real. The Lord showed me I'm going to suffer things. But you know what? A great miracle is if my brothers have to let me down in some wicker basket, and that's the provision, that's fine with me. Many times people get hung up on this. When the prophet told Nahum, go wash yourself 7 times in that dirty river, that your flesh will be new, he didn't like it. The mighty warrior says, you know what, if he told you to take on a hill or go to battle, you would have done this. But he told you, just wash yourself in there. I'm not even going to come to you. Just wash yourself 7 times. Your flesh will be new. He got upset about it. Think about it today. How hard is it to get your life right with the Lord? And yet some people will resist that grace. I just don't want to do it. Amen? Come on, we need to take that area. He's paid everything for us. The great miracle sometimes is right there. And notice his brethren let him down. Maybe he threw one of their relatives in jail. Maybe they had to overcome. How many knows that he persecuted the church? Some were skeptical about him, but now we see something different. How many here would like to hold on to the rope? It's a lot to let a guy down in those areas. How many say, you know, whatever it takes for our brother here to get out? Notice we still need each other. There is no spiritual Lone Rangers. Amen? And then listen, the watchman on the wall can also detect that which is evil. How many knows somebody who knows how to spy can spy it out too? Yes or no? How many knows that we're not ignorant of the enemy's devices? I love when Nehemiah says, you know what, I'm doing a good thing. I can't come down from the wall. They had a brick in one hand and a sword in another. I think that's what we need to do today. I'm doing a good work. I'm not coming down. More than ever, the enemy is throwing insults like never before. He's trying to get people off their game. And here's the next thing, and here's something you need to pray for. If the enemy can't get you to quit, he'll get you to be complacent. And there's a lot of complacency today. Yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, I'm going to heaven. That's cool. That's good. Listen, that's not good enough. It's like, no, I need to serve the Lord. And here's a great concern I have. Listen, parents that become complacent with the gospel, their kids will not serve the Lord later. You got to lead by example. There's going to be sacrifice when it comes to the Lord. Didn't Jesus say, if you want to follow me, pick up your and what? Notice that you lose your rights. Now, you can choose whatever you want, but you want to be a bondservant? No, I'm going to serve the Lord. And I've learned this. Any freedoms I give up with God, he always makes it up. You never really outgive God. Come on. I mean, he's great. He's mighty. He'll do great and mighty things. Amen? I'll give you a case in point. I just had some work done on my truck, some new axle shafts on it. The tie rod ends kind of make the wheel turn each way. All that was knocked off, taken off totally. I knew I had to get an alignment when I was done because the whole front end, believe me, the whole front end is taken off. I take it up to the alignment shop. They want $110 to align it. Okay, fine. I take it in there. How many knows that you just don't get in right away? Take a seat over there. So I'm there for an hour. They finally get it in, about an hour and 20 minutes. The guy puts it on his rack, and in 5 minutes, it's sitting back in the parking lot. And I'm watching it there, and I go up there. I go, is there a problem with it? He goes, we don't know. It come back totally perfect. He says, it's only like a degree off. I go, we see all the new parts on there, but we don't understand that. So here's what we'll do. We'll send you to another tire place. And if your alignment is off, we'll pay for it because we want to make sure our machine isn't broke because we've never seen anything like that. So now I have a little bit lack of faith, a little bit of like, okay, I'll do that. I went to another tire shop. Do you think they get me right in right away? No. So I wait there. They pull it in. I said, look, they promised to pay it. They checked it all out. Sure, they'll cover it. The guy pulls it in, puts it on the rack. It's a degree off. I didn't have to change a thing. Just took a little bit of time. $110 for nothing. Are you with me? Can God do that? Can God bless you? Yes or no? Now, I know it's a practical, mechanical thing, but I've never in my life taken a whole front end apart, put it back together, and it's perfect. Because one thread off makes the wheel off. Oh, you're hearing me a word here? Listen, God knows how to bless and prosper. Now Saul is being let down in a basket. He now is totally helpless by the people that are letting him down. Don't drop the rope. Say amen. Put yourself in the basket. Don't drop the rope. Hopefully they can hold it. Don't let it slip. Now my life is totally in the hands of another believer. He's starting to be right where he needs to be. Trust in the Lord. And getting to know who God's people are. Do we really need one another? We do. Then, Lord, let that revelation come to the whole body of Christ. Amen? When I look at Saul, he now had time to grow. And I really think this is a need for every minister. No one should assume the Christian office until they've passed the school of the Holy Ghost. Too many novices have been behind the pulpit and soon been out of the pulpit. You need time to grow in the grace and knowledge. All that experience needs to come to pass. Amen? Come on. How many of us that we all need to have this? Are you enjoying tonight? Look at verse 26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join himself to the disciples, but they were afraid of him, and they didn't believe that he was a disciple. Notice they were afraid of him. Listen, that would be hard, wouldn't it? You now are a believer. You're now a Christian, and you go to other Christians, and they don't believe you that you've changed. Now, he's reaping some of what he's sown, but that is a hurtful thing. It doesn't share much about his emotions, but I guarantee you, if you went to the church and you got saved and nobody believed you, it would bother you. Because everybody has flesh. Everybody. And the Bible says that nobody believed him. This is a painful humiliation, but it's based on his former conduct. It's a hard beginning, but if you're faithful, God will work it out. Look at verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the disciples. And he declared to them how much he'd seen of the Lord on the road, and how much was spoken of him, and how much he had done, and boldly preached in Damascus in the name of Jesus. Thank God for a loving believer in the church. It doesn't say how many said, man, we just can't trust this guy. Man, I don't believe it. And now Barnabas comes along and said, you know what? I heard it's true, and I've seen it. I've eyewitnessed it. Wouldn't that be a comfort to you? It'd be a comfort to me. Listen, we can always look, and sometimes we need to check some things out. But if it checks out to be true, you need to welcome that brother or sister in. Amen? Come on. They may be doing some detestable things, and now they get their life right. Man, well, Lord, who's the Barnabas in the room? Who's the one say, I took him in? I'm thank God for Barnabas. One guy stood up for him. It doesn't say the time frame on which he went around. It doesn't say that this happened in just the service. I don't know. I don't know. It's a question when I get to heaven I can ask. If it was days, can you imagine days? I went to the believer and nobody even believes me. What a bummer. Or did it happen in one service? I really don't know. But whatever the time frame is, Lord help me. Sometimes you have to reap a little bit of what you've sown, but God will always temper your harvest that you don't eat the full effect of it. You bear in your body your own scars. Amen? How many ever had a flashback of some failure and it kind of startled you for a minute and went, man, what was I thinking? Okay, three of you. I mean, how many of your past does not have to define you? It does not have to define you. There may be some things that crop up. He's having a hard start in his ministry. But you know what? It's going to get better. And soon they're all going to know that Saul is Paul, and he's going to write 2/3 of the New Testament. Isn't that so neat? God can turn it all around. Listen to me. Don't write people off. Listen, there's been a change. Their works will prove they're different. Is this good? Come on, we all need this. I believe with all my heart that people are going to be come in like never before. The church is not going to limp out in the last days. That's not the God I serve. He says the latter days will be greater than the former. I don't know what it's going to take to get this world's attention, but God does. I pray that people will bow their knee, and for some, before it's too late. Like many of you, I have family members that need to get saved. Amen. Keep praying for them. Some of you have people that once served the Lord have walked away. Keep praying for them. Don't give up on them. Amen. Are you enjoying this tonight? Look at verse 28. So he was with them in Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, disputing against those. But they tried again, attempting to kill him. I imagine that Paul started to get used to it. It seems now that when he goes out and shares, there's somebody always after him. He must have had a powerful testimony. But I found something interesting. That when Saul began to preach, when he started his ministry, he spoke in the same place that Stephen spoke when they stoned him to death. Isn't that amazing that one day he held the coat of Stephen, or he held those that were going to kill him, and now he's preaching in the same path which Stephen got stoned. How many of those God knows how to bring it all back? I love that. He got interceded in a place, and now he's going to preach in that same place. I've seen this happen over the years. I remember one time I was out in a remote place out near Fowlerville. Anybody know where that is? And I remember one time I was at a gas station, and I was had a bus that broke down, and there was going to be a long time before they can come. And I never forget, I just got out of the bus. I had it parked over on the side. And I just looked at this town and went, you know, Lord, move in Fowlerville. Lord, I don't know too many people out here. There's kind of a little country place there. Lord, touch this area in the name of Jesus. I want you to know that 2 years later, we did a youth crusade in that same town. And it came back to me that day, Lord, you're so awesome. Amen. Not in my righteousness, in your righteousness. Saul is now preaching in the place where Stephen is stoned. I think that's so cool. Amen. When God sees your behavior has changed, he opens up a whole new venue for you. Sometimes you'll revisit some places that you've been now that you're different. But notice the same people that wanted to kill Stephen. I wonder if it's the same ones that want to kill Paul. I don't know. Same spirits there. Could be different people, but same spirit. We have the Holy Ghost in us. Amen? I mean, it was God's good. Look at verse 30. And when the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea, and they sent him out to Tarshish. Again, the disciples come. I love this. Listen, they're plotting against him, and the disciples come again. They come again, they're going to deliver him again. I love that God will keep delivering you. He always has deliverance for his people. The only time Saul or Paul lost his life is when he knew he was done at Rome. He says, I'm not coming back to see you anymore. I'm going to lose my life in Rome. The Lord's already showed me. But I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. I'm done. Other than that, every single time, he was delivered out of every single storm. The Lord will deliver you out of everyone until he takes you home. Amen. Isn't that cool? They can plot. They can do all kinds of stuff. And you know, let's face it, he was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was left for dead outside of Lystra. He was beaten with rods. He was amongst this and this and this. He lived a life that was persecution all the way around. Aren't you glad the Lord showed him the things he's going to suffer? I mean, that's a reality. And I believe this with all my heart. When the days of your life start to wane down in your sunset years, the Lord will not leave you comfortless either. He'll come to you. He'll speak peace to you. He'll help you through those times. Amen? And when you breathe your last, you don't have to fear because you're on a whole new ride. Hallelujah. And where you end up, you're going to like where you're going. Praise the Lord. And can you imagine the first time all of us get a glimpse of heaven and the people that are there and you finally meet Jesus face to face and you get to see God the Father on the throne? How many think it's going to be so awesome? Amen? You'll be able to recognize people. Hallelujah. I look forward to meeting some of the saints that went on before. I look forward to meeting Abraham. I do. I look forward to meeting Eve. I got some questions for her. I really do. I really do. But God is good. when Saul began to preach, I found some scriptures that were really interesting. On his trip to Caesarea and Tarsus, I believe this is where he went ministered to his sister. In Romans chapter 16, verses 7, 11, and 21, he says, many of his fellow countrymen came to know. And at that time, his sister got saved, also his nephew. And his nephew is the one that tipped off later on that they're trying to plot to kill you. Here's what I personally believe, that after Saul's conversion and he began to travel, he witnessed to his own family. He went to there to the places. And I believe personally his sister and her kid got saved. That's my own personal opinion. How many knows your testimony is real? Yes or no? You will affect others. How many want to see your family get saved? I do. There's only a few Christians in my family, but Lord, touch them all. They've all heard. I've seen pockets of resistance, and I've also seen where a glimmer of hope opens up, a door opens up. Keep speaking the word. God will come through. Amen? And I'll close with this. When the Lord Jesus works in your heart, he does a full transformation. And if we allow that light to shine, it's irrefutable. And if you grow in the grace and knowledge, your testimony becomes really a pathway of righteousness for others. And when you start to learn scripture, you can lead others biblically to the truth. And the truth sets you free. All of us are on that journey. Saul is a prime example. In fact, he's a real good example of changing from darkness to light. Notice that he didn't give up on his faith after he got saved. Even when he was persecuted, even when nobody believed him, he still was steadfast with that. God will always change it. Your future is pretty bright. Let me say this to you. There comes a time where Saul now won't be pushed out of the church. Yeah, there's going to be people that hate him. But can you imagine him coming to your service and preaching? Can you imagine a revelation that just flowed from him? Even Peter said, he speaks hard words that those that are immature twist and pervert. If you'll stay on this path, no matter what your past was like, your future will make you totally different. And the Lord will work it all out. You're in good hands with the King. Amen? How many want to stay on that road? Amen? How many want to walk in the light as he's in the light? How many here have determined that no matter what, I'm going to serve my God? How many are seeing that we need one another? Somebody's got to hold the rope. Somebody's got to let down the basket. Somebody's got to do that. All that matters. It saved his life. Say amen. And God allowed us to share in the same miracle. We will too. We'll be able to do something for somebody else that, you know what? It'll benefit the rest of their life. Hallelujah. Enjoy tonight. Next week, we're going to pick up from here and we're going to finish this chapter. You're going to see some great things in there. But I want us all to realize that persecution is real. For some people, they're actually living this out. They hid him in a closet when the people came. They. And I got a chance to preach in my grandfather's pulpit one time in Germany. And my grandmother was still alive. He had passed on. And it was kind of neat to stand and preach where he preached. I never heard him preach. He passed away before I could go there. But she did. And she began to share with me in her broken English. My mom would translate. She was alive at that time. How they took all these books and stuck them in the tires of the cars and drove them over to East Side when the wall was still up. And they'd stop the car and they'd search, but they never looked inside the tires. And they got all this Christian material. Before he died, he said, I want all this to go to those pastors that got locked on that side. I thought that was so cool. So they'd bring the car in. They'd break the tires down. They'd jam as many books as they could in the tires. Put the bead back on it and drive it across. Isn't that so cool? When they got to the other side, they'd take it to the shop, pull all the books out, and give them to all the pastors. His life still spoke after he was gone. Your life will too. For the Apostle Paul, he never forgot those who let him down the wall. He never forgot those that plotted to kill him. They helped make a way for me. Listen, you also will do that. You will affect somebody else's eternity. Keep being faithful. Keep being faithful to those things. Some of you came out of great darkness. Keep walking in that. Your past is under the blood. Amen. And I know this for a fact. Sooner or later, the light will shine and that other stuff won't matter anymore. For Paul, he never moved away from his testimony. God saved me. I persecuted, but now I'm preaching it. Your testimony will place you in front of people you never thought possible. But your testimony is only one step. Make sure you can prove it by Scripture too. Can I get an amen to that? Father, thank you for this time.